welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Well, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 28-14 win against Maryville. You know, a very, very tight game into the fourth quarter. When you had a chance to look back on film, what were some things that caught your eye from that game?
Our resiliency to actually play through the conditions. That was not form-fitting to what we play as football. We had some early drops that I think if we catch the ball result in big plays or even touchdowns, and we played through it. You know, that there's a lot of teams would have been, they dropped the first couple and been like, but then we came back, made some really big catches, made some great throws. We ran the ball effectively. We got a couple penalties that were you know, alarming that put us behind the chains. You can't get behind the chains by Maryville. On defense, thought we played extremely well. We tackled well. I think the one thing got us, we ran into each other on one of the first pass plays and knocked each other down. We were a little, resulted in a big play for them. After that, we played pretty clean football. Maryville's a good football team. They were a really good football team, real physical, real big. They came in here and they played their A game. They did everything correct. They had one turnover, which is an interception right before half that just a desperation kind of throw. So they played a very clean, very good football game, and we still found a way to win it in very adverse conditions and not playing our best football as far as being able to throw everything we wanted to throw at them. We had to kind of keep it close to the vest because of the weather, and that was a very, very exciting win after watching film.
You know, when we talk about how good teams find ways to make adjustments within the game, and one of the things we talked about last week was the halftime adjustments you all made. I know you said there were some minor defensive changes, but the bigger change came on the offensive side where you all went to the option offense, which opened up and Tyler scored a touchdown in that first possession of the third quarter. Take me into that. Like, what are some of the things that, I mean, when you get together with the coaching staff during halftime, what kind of led to that decision to switch to the option?
Well, they were matching so well on our pass game because, you know, the weather had something to do with it, and I'm not being, but we went back and we're looking, and we felt like they were starting to tire. Mm-hmm. And they were moving in and out of different defenses. And so when you move in and out of different defenses, your option matchups change. So Coach Cook's like, how about we try some option at them and see if they can match? And lo and behold, they couldn't because they were shifting before the snap. They were letting us make the play call. They were looking over. So we started going faster. As fast as we get play in, line up and run the play. The second thing was make them match on the option. And that's hard to do in high school football. It's hard to do in college football. If you watch college games, is match every time. So just be patient and take what they give you.
How much pride do you take in what the defense was able to do, holding Maryville to less than 3 yards per carry after Maryville had averaged 300-plus yards for four straight playoff games?
That was unbelievably ginormous for us. And I can't underestimate how much I say ginormous, because it was when they had the three offensive linemen, and plus they had two other guys that were pretty doggone good, but those three offensive linemen and those two backs, they both went about 210. Mm-hmm. And so they could bring it downhill, and the conditions it was the way our D-line changed the line of scrimmage we talked about before, and the third, fourth quarter was just monumental. And I thought once we got them where they couldn't run up the middle, and they were trying to get outside, and we were able to run down outside, their pass game was going to be ineffective in that kind of weather conditions. They're not built to pass the ball in those kind of conditions. Yeah. Nobody is, but especially that team. So once we got their interior game shut down, I felt really good about where we're headed.
All right, let's talk about state championship game. Seneca, first time Blair Oaks and Seneca are meeting on the football field. What have you seen from the Seneca team on film?
Physical, 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 physical. Just very discipline. They run and to the ball. Their intent is to just drive you into the turf. This is as physical a football team as you'll see in the state of Missouri. They just thrive on being very very physical. They're a run-first team. They don't make no apologies about it. You know they're going to run. They know they're going to run. They're going to make you like that they run the football. Defensively, they have a three-man front that is as good as any three-man front we've seen. They're unbelievable with their hands and their viciousness. They have two really good linebackers, and then behind they just sit and wait for you to make a mistake. They are very opportunistic defense. They attack the ball very well, and they tackle extremely well.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. Greg, it's been about 100 days or so since we started these. Let's end strong.
That's it?
That's it. Seems like a lot longer.
It was like 100 degrees out when we started this, and now it's down around 30. What
exactly.
The heck?
All right, so the good news is we'll get to in a minute, the Blair Oaks Falcons are playing for a state title today. But let's go back before we go forward, and let's look at how they got there last week. 2014 win against Maryville. You said it was going to be closer the second time around. It was this closer the second time around. They actually trailed for what, the first time all season, or for first time in like
week two.
Yeah, since week two. You know, tied at 7 at the half, things were looking dicey, and then a good second half gets them into the state title game.
You know, I didn't look it up until I was working on the state championship preview with the game by game capitals. I went back and read the stories from Maryville, and there's a quote, and maybe it just didn't register with me because I kind of agreed with them. But I thought it was hilarious that I've got Ted LePage on the record after they'd won 61-12 in the season over. Yeah, that's a better Maryville team than what we saw today. Like, there's no way they're that much better than we are. And last Saturday played out just like that. It was a tie game early in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know, Blair Oaks scored a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter, got a couple of stops, and that's why it was a 28-14 final.
A game befitting a state semifinal. It should have been like that.
I mean, let's be honest. 4 years ago, it was the same thing. You know, Blair Oaks won by a blowout the season opener against Maryville. The state championship game was a shootout. I mean, Blair Oaks still won by about 23, 24 points. I think it was something like 64-40 or 42, something along those lines. But the difference was, you know, 4 years ago, Maryville was missing a lot of players because they were out due to COVID precautions,
right,
and they were available to play in the state title game. This time, I agree with Coach LePage. Maryville made mistakes in the season opener that they weren't going to make in November, and that's the case. I mean, really what hampered Maryville in the first half was, I believe they had four holding penalties that either prolonged scores their touchdown drive or stalled out drives. And I remember thinking at halftime, man, if they clean those holding penalties up, they might be winning 14-7 right now. You never know.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions for you about that game was does anybody feel that, you know, the game didn't go the way it really likely could have? I mean, did the right team win, or was it sort of thing where Maryville can look back and go, oh man, this play and that play and that play, if we do those better, maybe we win this game?
I think Blair Oaks was expected to win and did go on to win. The thing that impressed me was, and this is typical Blair Oaks defense, Maryville had like a 68-yard pass play on the second play from scrimmage, got down to the 10, and Blair Oaks forced a turnover on downs inside the 5. Which I'm thinking, okay, this is reminiscent of Hallsville. Is Blair Oaks going to turn around and score? And if I remember right, I think they got a first down on their first possession and then was forced to punt. And then Maryville scores, and just like that, Blair Oaks is trailing for the first time in 3 months. And it's like, all right, let's... You know, a lot of times if you look in the past, when Blair Oaks falls behind in the postseason, it's hard to come back from a deficit in the postseason.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, though, that you have to take away from it and go, you know what, we needed to be pushed for the first time in months.
Yeah.
We got pushed. How were we going to respond? And like you said, sometimes it's been a harbinger of doom for them in the playoffs where you go, oh, we're behind, and they never quite recover. They recovered just fine.
They did. I thought what was interesting was, you know, Maryville, their scoring drive in the first half was like a 5-minute, like 12-play type drive. I thought it was quite... unlike Blair Oaks to answer with a very similar drive that took 5 minutes off the clock and took 11-12 plays to tie the score.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting because if you look at Blair Oaks all year long, they've been a let's score quick, let's score fast type offense. And that wasn't the case against Maryville. You know, they go into halftime tied at 7. They only had success throwing the ball if it was to Jackson Engelbrecht, and they only had success running the ball if it was Tyler Beck. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, who's going to make the adjustments?
Right.
And that's something we're probably going to talk about, is who's going to make the bigger in-game adjustments. And they didn't really change a terrible amount on defense. I think they just kind of focused in on some assignments that they didn't really have time to work out in the first half. Second half on offense, they switched to an option offense. And again, to me, that just goes to show if you can make in-game adjustments and if you can find ways to perform well on offense in multiple areas, whether it's throwing the ball, whether it's an option, whether it's just handing the ball off to your running back, you're going to find a way to have success. And Tyler Bax really did a great job on offense, you know, led them out, got a scoring drive right out the gate. You know, Maryville did tie it on the first play of the fourth quarter, but then Blair Oaks, you know, quickly answered with the touchdown and then got a touchdown pass to Vander Hallford to make it the two-possession game with about 8 minutes and change to go. And again, we talked last week, Maryville entered the game averaging more than 300 yards rushing in their four postseason games. And Blair Oaks held them to, I believe it was 53 or 51 carries for 149 yards. That is impressive for a team.
Yeah.
Especially, and they didn't, you know, divert from what they've been doing. They really were a wing T offense in Saturday's game. And Blair Oaks just did a really good job of shutting it down.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So the end result is the Falcons get the all-important victory, moves them to 12-1 in the season, moves them into today's 11 a.m. state championship game at Faurot Field against Seneca. We've talked a ton this year about Blair Oaks and that not many close games, haven't been pushed for a while, have some gaudy scores on the resume.
Yeah.
How about this for Seneca? 13-0, closest game is 21 all season long, and that was way back in week two, a 35-14 win
against
Mount Vernon. Otherwise, you're looking at scores that, you know, are in the 30s, 40s, 50s. They haven't had a close game in, I mean, pretty much all year.
From what I've gathered, this is a season that's really been like 3 or 4 years in the making for Seneca, which is kind of scary when you look at their starters for Saturday's game, and a lot of them are juniors. So I hear 3 or 4 years in the making. I'm like, it sounds like they'll be back next year if they can keep everybody around and keep everybody healthy. Big A Conference football, man. They have been dominating it the past couple of years. Like you said, I mean, they're beating Class 4 state-ranked teams by turbo clock. I mean, to be fair, Blair Oaks, turbo clock, the state, an Osage team that was state-ranked in Class 4 at one point. I mean, they beat a state-ranked Boonville team 62-0 and 49-6. So, you know, if you look at the head-to-head schedules, Blair Oaks has played the best opponent of the two when you throw in Lutheran North. The fact that Lutheran North is playing, or by the time you listen to this, has played for a Class 4 state championship. And that result kind of played out the way we thought maybe it could, where if Blair Oaks just couldn't keep up with them, it was going to turn into that 58-28 type of game. But there's not really a bad opponent. I know a lot of people, now I will say a lot of people will look at that Lamar score and Lamar's playing for a Class 2 state title and think, what the heck happened? From what I gathered, I think Lamar, that was the Week 9 game, I think Lamar sat like 7 or 8 starters because they're like, look, this game means nothing to us. We want everybody healthy for a playoff run, which is what happened. So, in my opinion, nothing against Seneca, but throw that result out as an eye-dropping result.
Which was 57-7, by the way. Which was, it did catch a lot of people off guard, but sometimes you have to delve into the numbers.
That being said, Seneca is a really, really good team. You know, especially when you beat Live for Life 31-0, and Live for Life, you know, played a heck of a game against Elias earlier this year.
And we talked about it last week, and you know, you said you did think that Seneca would win that game, but you thought that they were going to score some points. Well, they shut that team out completely. So you look at it and go, that's another one where you go, okay, all you can do is play the people in front of you, and if you mollywop them, that's what you do, and that's what they did. So again, I think it's one of those games today where I think this one is very intriguing coming into it and go, on paper, this one looks like two very teams that are deserving of getting the other team.
This is number one. This is the only number one versus number two state championship game in the six classes plus 8-man. So, So going back to the Look for Life game, I think if you're Blair Oaks, the one thing you take as a positive, if you're feeling good going into this game, is that Seneca only scored two offensive touchdowns.
Okay.
You know, I believe they had four possessions where they had turnovers on down in Live for Life territory. And Blair Oaks, this is a Blair Oaks team that beat Live for Life 42-0 a couple years ago. Obviously not the same Live for Life team. They were young then. They're more experienced now. If you're a little concerned, if you're Blair Oaks, Seneca scored two defensive touchdowns with a pick six and a fumble return, plus they also blocked a punt that resulted in a safety. So Seneca has shown that they don't need to always score with their offense.
Right.
So again, Seneca is great on both sides of the ball. I believe they are returning five starters on offense and five starters on defense from a team that played for a state title last year against Park Hill Central.
Okay.
You know, if you want to do a side-by-side comparison, Blair Oaks played a closer game against Park Hill Central last year than Seneca did. Not by much. I mean, you know, Blair Oaks, it was a five-point game. I believe Seneca lost by a couple of touchdowns. So, again, not much of a difference.
Right.
You just never know. And honestly, if I remember right, the games played out very similarly, where Park Hill Central jumped out early and both teams had to play catch-up and got close but couldn't quite get back in there. So,
yeah.
You know, very good Seneca team that's rushed for more than 5,000 yards in 13 games.
I was going to say, that's the thing we have to focus on first. If you go, gosh, what are they good at? Well, it sounds like they're very good at running the ball.
They are. You know, you take a look, you know, running back Roman Miller was primarily a starter on defense last year as a linebacker. He's still starting at linebacker, but now he's their starting running back that has more than 1,500 yards and 27 touchdowns. More than 1,600 yards, I should say, and 27 touchdowns. So, again, you know, a guy that goes both ways, much like the Maryville running back in Sadler Vial last week. You know, Caden Klaus is also the quarterback that has rushed for more than 1,500 yards and another 15 touchdowns. So, obviously, if you look at who's going to carry the ball, it's going to be primarily those two, kind of like how we talked last week with Vial and McAtee for Maryville. The thing that also jumps at me is, like, it sounds like Seneca wasn't sure on who the quarterback might be until right around Jamboree time or so. So, the guy who is the backup is Brody Probert, and he's also got... I think he's seven or nine yards shy of 1,000 yards rushing. So they're this close to having three 1,000 yard rushers entering the state title game. So I think Klaus and Miller are going to be the primary ball handlers, but you know Probert could also come in and do some damage.
So I guess the follow up question then would have to be: do they throw the ball at all?
They do throw the ball, and here's what's scary about that: they don't throw it often, but it's usually big plays when it works out. I mean a lot of their touchdowns are like 30, 40, 50-plus yard type plays.
Okay.
So it's almost one of those things like they'll lull you to sleep defensively with their run game, which, you know what, you have to key in on their run game because you know they're going to primarily run the ball. But they've got a tight end and Hagen Ginger who has 433 yards receiving and averages about 40 yards reception, which means he's got about 11 catches and six of them are for touchdowns.
Right.
So again, he's more of a blocking tight end, but if you let him get past the line, like they will always seem to find him when they need to.
Okay.
So they are going to run the ball most of the time. But the Blue Arrow secondary can't take off any plays because you just never know when they're going to sneak that pass in. Kind of like how we were talking about with Maryville 8 or so years ago. That's what this kind of reminds me of, is a team like that.
Yeah. So I think that, again, we kind of know what they are on offense. We kind of know what to expect from them on offense. I think it's an offense that, again, put up large numbers this year and lots of them. So I think it's probably easy to, like we do sometimes with Blair Oaks, is we overlook the defense.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the defense, I mean, the biggest number of points they've given up in any game this year was the return matchup with Mount Vernon, and that was 26.
Yeah.
So they still beat them basically by 30 again the second time. And 26 is the most they've given up in any game this year. So you look at it and go, that means, you know, there's a lot of zeros, sevens, sevens, sixes, you know, on the other side of the ledger. So you go, don't sleep on their defense either.
Yeah. I was going to say that's probably the key thing is if you're having, again, we talked about if you're feeling good, if you're Blair Oaks, I think they gave up similar to what Blair Oaks gave up with Park Hill Central, maybe 48 points in that state title game last year. But yeah, it definitely... they've got great linebacker play with Miller and Kyle Adams. You know, they're the two of the three leading tacklers, I believe. You know, and great D line play. From what I can tell, it looks like you know, the two deep I've gotten from Misha says that they're a 4-3 defense, but I really think they just line up with three down linemen. So don't get me wrong, I think they're good. Those three are definitely good. You know, Nolan Napier is one of their two returning All-State players from last year. He plays defensive end. You know, Jace Renfro, who is their All-State center, their other returning All-State player, plays nose guard, and he's done a great job. So I'll be curious to see if Blair, like, how are they going to use that three-man front? Yep. Are they going to try to force Blair Oaks to the out? Like, are they going to do everything they can to clog up the middle, try to force Blair Oaks to the outside? Or are they going to dare Blair Oaks to try to run up the middle, whether it's Carson Versois at running back, whether it's Tyler Bax at quarterback, and try to kind of contain them in the middle of the field before they get to the secondary? I'll be very interested. To me, that's going to be one of the key matchups. I know a lot of people are looking at Blair Oaks' run defense against Seneca's run offense, but to me, I'm kind of curious to see what the Blair Oaks offense will do against this Seneca defense, because if I had to guess, they don't throw the ball a whole lot at many schools in the Big 8 Conference, let alone the Springfield area. Yep. So Blair Oaks has shown they can throw the ball. I know they didn't throw it as well as they would have wanted to against Maryville, but it was also freezing cold. It was snowing. I think that had a little bit to do with it, not to make excuses, but I think it really did. And it sounds like the weather's going to be better on Saturday right. for the state title game. So if you're Blair Oaks and you've got four receivers that are pretty good, do you try to find a mismatch at corner or safety? Do you try to run the ball with Carson Versois? And like, if it doesn't work out quite as well like it did in the Maryville game, do you let Tyler Bax kind of go with that option offense, whether he can hand it off or pass, do some RPO type stuff? You just never know. I think what helps for Blair Oaks is they have so much in their arsenal. If something doesn't, if plan A doesn't sure. work, there's always plan B. If plan B doesn't work, there is a plan C. So I'll be very interested to see, you know, where they find success with their offense.
So, well, I think the one thing we've learned about Blair Oaks over the years is that size or size differential does not necessarily preclude them from having success. They've gone mm-hmm. up against bigger teams
yeah.
and had success. They've gone up against similarly sized teams and had success. But I think it's still interesting to kind of analyze before you go into this. So how does the makeup of these two teams either complement, or is there some difference between the two of them? Does anybody have a decided size advantage going into this one?
You know, Seneca is smaller than Maryville. I think that was one of the things that was a strength for Maryville, was they had a couple of linemen who were like 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds. You know, okay. Seneca doesn't quite have that size, but they're still quick and sure. athletic. So, I mean, it's a different type of line, but still a really good line, yeah. which is what we've talked about with Blair Oaks. I mean, sure. Blair Oaks doesn't really have any 300, 310-pounders, but they've got some quick guys on their line. So I agree with you. I think that could be a good, interesting matchup. I think it's going to be pretty even on the line play. So it's okay. going to come down to, like Coach LePage has told me, who's going to make more mistakes, you know, who's going to find a way to get that extra score? Like, who's going to get that score with the last 2 minutes to go in either half or yep. whatnot? It's just going to come down to a lot of the little things. And Coach LePage knows that better than anybody. This will be his fifth state championship game. And to be honest, you know, it could turn out a lot like that Lamar game a couple of years ago for a Class 2 state title. Who's going to get that big stopper? Who's going to get that go-ahead touchdown
yep. at the end? So let's talk a few intangibles. You mentioned it earlier. I don't think the weather's going to be a factor today. No. It sounds like it should be nice. You know, it's better than it would have been if this game was played midweek when things were right. a little chilly. That might have made a difference. I don't think that's going to be a factor today. Then you look at the next intangible, which is playing it at Faro, which sometimes, mm-hmm. if you haven't been there before or you haven't had any experience with it, can be something that just takes some kids aback and go, oh my gosh, we're playing where Mizzou plays. And then all of a sudden, that's all your head is thinking about.
And these two teams have both been there the past 2 years.
They've both been there recently enough that I don't think that matters.
Yeah.
So then you just go to the next intangible and you go, okay, the big intangible is always injuries. So how healthy is Blair Oaks coming into this game, and do you think they're going to have, you know, a decent enough complement of guys that they're at quote-unquote full strength?
I mean, would they love to have Hayden Lackman and Brady Dapper?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right.
But, again, those two won't be available. Jay Chouinard, you know, starting linebacker, leads the team in tackles. You know, I believe it was a broken thumb or broken hand in the state semifinal game against Maryville. He is going to have a cast. He will play.
Okay.
Dylan Klegel's been playing a lot at linebacker as well, so those two are probably going to share a lot of the playing time
okay.
at one of the three linebacker spots if you're Blair Oaks. But other than that, I think they're good to go. You take a look at – I'm not sure about the injuries with Seneca, but as far as I can tell, based on the numbers, they look like they're doing pretty well. But, yeah, I will say this. I am impressed. You know, I was sitting here with Tom Rackers after the Southern Boone, the regular season game, and I'm like, man, I think Blair Oaks can still make a run at the state championship game. I don't if they play Seneca, I don't know what it'll be like without those two All-State players.
Right.
But I think they've shown that they can compete against the best of the best.
Sure.
Because they, as we've talked about all year long, they have such a great two-deep roster, and it's yeah. always that next man up and how well they're playing. I mean, Vander Halford had that touchdown reception. I mean, he wasn't playing until like a month and a half ago. So I think Blair Oaks has shown that they can do a pretty good job, you know, regardless of what's thrown at them.
Yeah.
So I think if they can find a way to stay healthy within the game.
Right.
And again, to me, it comes down to the in-game adjustments. You know, who's going to be the better coached team? That may be something that comes down to is we saw Blair Oaks make adjustments against Maryville, and they were adjustments that worked and made a difference and allowed them to win that game. If the same situation happens with Seneca, as you said, Seneca hasn't really had its back up against the wall.
Right.
I mean, I think if you want to count maybe a 2-0 lead after one quarter against Live for Life as quote-unquote backs up against the wall, hey, they did great then. But
right.
To me, it's going to come down to you've got to find a way to get a two-possession lead, because when you get to this level, a two-possession lead this late in the season makes such a big difference. And then not only when you get that two-possession lead, you can't get conservative. You've got to find a way to keep playing the way you've been playing. Whether it's Seneca, whether it's Blair Oaks, you have to keep playing the way that got you here if you want to win these games. You can't afford to play on your heels in the fourth quarter.
So I guess we'll get to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll ask you not only who do you think wins today, but also maybe more importantly in terms of how the game flow will go. Do you see this being two teams with two low scores, two teams with gigantic scores next to their names by the time this one gets over with?
Well, I'll tell you what. First off, before I get to my prediction, I just want to thank you again for doing podcasts again this year.
It's been
my pleasure. I know it's 15 long weeks, but we appreciate you hanging in and producing and doing all this stuff.
Finer group I couldn't ask for, so yeah.
But to the prediction, you know, this was one I was kind of torn on because I was sitting here. I remember at the beginning of the week, I was like, man, Seneca's just so good. And the one thing that impressed me was Blair Oaks was, even though, I mean, they were happy and glad to beat Maryville, and that's a huge win. I don't care what Maryville's record was. I know it's not like a 13-0 type team, but
sure,
still, it's a good Maryville team. They were ready to go and start game planning for Seneca not long after last Saturday's win. And to me, that when you have coaches that are, I don't think they looked ahead. I think
right.
they knew if you get caught looking ahead, you will lose to Maryville. So I think it was one of those things where they did what they had to do. No time to celebrate. It's on to the next game.
Sure.
I like what I saw from those few minute moments when they were kind of already game planning and preparing for Seneca. I don't think they're going to be surprised by a whole lot unless Seneca throws something that's never been done this season.
Right.
I do think it'll be a close game. I really don't know who's going to have the ball last. It could be like 2 years ago where Blair Oaks made a defensive stop to save the game. Could be a game where Blair Oaks just found some offense in the second half and got going. I'm going to go with my pick in the paper, which was Blair Oaks wins 35-28. You know, I cannot pick against Blair Oaks and Ted LePage in an even number year. They did it in 04, they did it in 18, they did it in 20, they did it in 22. I know they're not wearing the all whites today. They are the home team, so I know people are, if you're superstitious, they're a little nervous about that.
Right.
But I still can't, I just can't pick against an even numbered year with a Ted LePage Blair Oaks team.
Fair enough. All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.